today on Agape Radio with Pastor Terry Reynolds of Agape Chapel in Westminster, California.
You have God to draw upon at all time. James tells us in chapter 1, if any of us lacks wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask of God. And what's God going to do in return? He's going to give it to us freely. Otherwise, that word isn't just freely, but he's going to unleash the dam. It's going to open up. It's going to pour onto you, and he's going to give you his wisdom on the matters that we're dealing with in life.
God doesn't want his followers to live in darkness and confusion. He desires to give you wisdom and clarity as you seek to follow him. As Pastor Terry encourages us in today's message, all we need to do is ask, and God will open up the floodgates of his wisdom. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Terry's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Terry with part one of his message entitled Ephraim and Manasseh.
You know, faltering and having rough times in life just seems to happen to all of us, doesn't it? In some shape, some form. And we're going to see how the story of Joseph kind of tells this story that all of us go through at time. And I thought we would take a little bit before we get in the chapter 41 here, that we'll look at a little bit of review where we're at this point. First of all, the trials that Joseph endured. Did he endure a few trials? Yes, he did. Do you remember how he was despised by his brothers? Can you imagine having 10 older brothers and they all hated you? Can you imagine the taunting and the testing that you might have gone through? How they would have been trying you at all times. In fact, the brothers hated him enough, as you remember, they sought to kill him. Now, that isn't a very good relationship, is it? But that's where they were. In fact, when they tried to conspire to kill him, remember, his oldest brother said, no, I don't want to get the blood on my hand. Let's take him and throw him in the pit. Let's don't give him any food. Let's just let him starve to death. So in some way or another, he thought that was okay. But yet we know that God had another plan for him, because all of a sudden they switch gears and say, you know what, we can make money off of this thing. Let's take Joseph and let's sell him to that caravan that's coming on by. Let's sell him to him and our problems are going to be gone. You know, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And as he was bound, head into Egypt, their own confession, they ignored the anguish of Joseph's soul as he was crying out for his brothers, pleading with him not to send him away. The trials as he started, you remember at this time, how old was Joseph? He was 17 years old, a very young lad. But then what we saw in Egypt, he was brought before an officer of Pharaoh whose name was Potiphar. And, you know, it turned out to be at first a very good thing, as he was very diligent in his work, and he was very good in the business affairs and being able to run the household, which, of course, as an officer of the Pharaoh, was a very large household, had many servants. And he was so good at it, he was risen up to power where he could oversee everything and handle any problems came up. In fact, it got to a place, not only he was so faithful to run the house, he was able to run all the other concerns that Potiphar had, as far as business dealings, the land, the properties that he might have owned. In fact, Potiphar was so confident in him, he says, my only concern that I had was the food that I was eating before me, because, you know, no problem with anything else was going on. Joseph had it handled. He had got to a place where he really, you know, was settled in there. But of course, so often with life, but it doesn't seem like life has like we're on a yo-yo string. You know, some days are good and boom, the next day we're back down to the bottom and snap, we're back up to the top. Well, of course, within, you know, Potiphar's house, he had a wife. As we saw last week, where his wife decided, she became very infatuated with him, and she decided to seduce him. After many, many attempts to trying to seduce him, she finally emptied out the house where nobody was going to be in the home. He comes walking into the house. Not only does she try to seduce him, and this time she decided to take things into her own hand. Literally, she grabbed the guy, grabbed Joseph's coat, tried to force him down. He wiggles out of it, and we know the story how he flees, how he heads out. And of course, from that, she screams rape. She cries out as she has this garment in her hands and saying, look at what Joseph had done. And she waited, and it says that she took the garment and she had just had it laying next to her, waiting for her husband to come home. And when he shows up, what does he do? He doesn't even question Joseph. We don't see that in the story. All he did was listen to his wife. You know, and then the story for Joseph, where does he end up? He ends up being thrown into jail again. In fact, into prison, which I find it's interesting because Potiphar was one of the king's officer. And so where Joseph was thrown in was the officer's or the Pharaoh's prison, where they would keep the high-ranking prisoners in. And so thus he was thrown into there. And the thing that's really marvelous about this story, as we'll be looking at tonight, Joseph, as he was put into prison, all of a sudden he was risen up again because he was a man of good quality, a man of good character. It's very similar to Daniel, how people would see the spirit that was in him, how he served God. And before you know it, he was being put in the place of being trustee of the prison, where he was able to oversee everything. There's something about the faithfulness that they saw in him that they were willing to allow him to run the prison. And within that prison, as I mentioned, came some of the other prisoners who were part of what Pharaohs would get mad at somebody. They would put him in prison, this prison. And he had two people that he was pretty upset with, as we'll again look at the study here tonight. One was what? One was a butler. And the other one was a baker. And they threw him into prison there, and they were there for a period of time. And this one day, Joseph came walking by, and these guys were put into prison because there was this attempt on the Pharaoh's life, and they, you know, these two were thought to be part of a plot to assassinate the Pharaoh. And so they're sitting in there, not knowing what's going on and how long they were going to be in there. And Joseph's come walking through the prison. He looks at these guys and say, what's wrong with you? Your countenance, you're so sad. And they said, we had a dream. We had a bad dream. We had a bad dream. And so Joseph said, tell me your dream. And so the butler tells him the dream, the first dream. He says, I saw in my dreams squeezing three grapes into a cup, bearing the cup to Pharaoh. And well, Joseph says, well, I'll tell you what this is going to be. This is going to be good news. Because in 3 days, you're going to be called back to the Pharaoh's court, and you're going to be back doing your job again. He says, when you get there, could you do me a favor? Could you tell the Pharaoh about me? Could you remember me when you get into the court, when you get back with the Pharaoh? And I imagine the butler says, who is this guy, Joseph? This is going to be pretty cool. Well, as the story goes on, of course, the baker wants to know an interpretation of his dream. He says, there was three loaves of bread. He says, in these three loaves of bread, I put them up on my head, and I was carrying them around, which I think is pretty interesting. I don't know if I could balance three loaves of bread on my head, but he was able to do it on a put a basket up there. And he says that the birds came and ate of it. Anytime you read about the birds in the Bible, it's normally not a good thing, is it? And he said, well, let me tell you the interpretation of this. See, in three days, your head's going to be cut off, and you're going to be gone. And so after this 3 days, this did happen, where the baker lost his head, the butler was brought back in his position. And so 2 years, two full years travel by. Again, Joseph is still in prison for just something he didn't do. I can imagine what he was going through, what he was thinking about. And this, of course, is told to us. This is in chapter 41, verses 14 through 37, where he reads this. And we see this story goes on. But what happens is in chapter 14 through 37, Pharaoh has a dream. He has a dream that nobody can understand or nobody can interpret. I find that this also is interesting because in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, doesn't he? And nobody could interpret that dream except for one man that walked with God, who the Spirit of God is in him, named Daniel. And so all of a sudden, this butler remembers. And he says, he remembers, and he says, there is a guy down in prison that interpreted my dream. And so they called Joseph up, and the Pharaoh told him of the dream about seven very healthy cows. You know, I always crack up about these dreams these guys have, you know. But these healthy cows coming up out of the Nile River, feeding on the meadows. You know, a beautiful picture, right? But then he goes, and then seven skinny cows come out of the river, and they ate the fat cows. And they still look skinny. He says, this is a pretty bizarre dream. Then he goes on, he says, I had a second dream. And the second dream was that there were seven stalks of wheat or barley. He says, and it looked tremendous. He says, but then there came this east wind blowing. And as it blew, it really devoured or wiped out the healthy ones with these seven skinny or kind of weak looking, you know, plants. You know, my wife and I put together the dirt in the garden, and she's starting to grow a garden, and we're praying that she gets the healthy stalks. But we know, like, what the weak one looks like, right? They're not going to bear fruit, and this is the picture that's going on. The weaker is wiping out the stronger. And so the Pharaoh is really concerned, you know, but Joseph, he says, not only he interprets it to him, he gives him some wisdom. He says, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have 7 good years. This country's going to have 7 great years. You're going to have a bumper crop. There's going to be tremendous resources going to happen in this land. But after the 7 years, you're going to have what? You're going to have 7 bad years, which the grain's going to be used up. There's going to be a tremendous drought that comes upon this land, time of desolation. And so he recommends to the Pharaoh to appoint wise men to oversee the storage. Again, this guy yesterday, where was he at? He was in prison. And now he's standing before the Pharaoh in the Pharaoh's court underneath the power of God, speaking these things, and God's given him the words to speak at that time. You remember in the New Testament, it talks about there are going to be times that they're going to bring you before kings and princesses and all kinds of important people. He says the Spirit's going to give you the words to speak at the appropriate time. How many times have you been out, you know, meet with somebody, all of a sudden you find out, whoa, I don't know where those scriptures came from. How God gives you the words to speak at the right times as he percolates it in your heart and gives you the boldness to speak it out. The Pharaoh was seeing Joseph underneath the power of God, speaking forth the wisdom of God to him. And so finally we get to our story in verse 38 of chapter 41. It says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find a man so capable as this man, Joseph, who has the Spirit of God? Do you see what separates him from everybody else, all of his counselors that he had? Again, like Daniel. Daniel had tremendous counselors, and you know, they used to gaze up at the stars to get their understanding and everything else that they could figure out for wisdom. But here you have a guy from prison standing before the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh recognized, Joseph, you have something completely different about you, is that the Spirit of God resides within you. Folks, we have the Spirit of God residing, making up his home within your heart. You have God to draw upon at all time. James tells us in chapter 1, if any of us lacks wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask of God. And what's God going to do in return? He's going to give it to us freely. Otherwise, that word isn't just freely, but he's going to unleash the dam. It's going to open up. It's going to pour onto you, and he's going to give you his wisdom on the matters that we're dealing with in life. And you go to me, well, Terry, how do I know it's from God? Well, the Bible tells us. James tells us that from the wisdom of this world is what? It's sensual, it's devilish, it's confusion of in every sort that you could imagine. He says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, it's peaceable, it's easy to entreat. I like the word easy to entreat. It means godly sense. It makes sense. And so here we see Joseph underneath the power of God share wisdom with the Pharaoh. He says, this is what makes sense. He says, you know, you'd better store up for those bad days. And the Pharaoh recognizes him. Huh, that's from God. It's amazing where they'll recognize the world around us. The Bible tells us that we should do our good works amongst them, that they'll see the good works that we're doing, that they'll glorify our God with this in heaven. They'll see what you're saying. He said, this isn't a man. God is speaking to you. In verse 39, and it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, insomuch as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you. There's nobody. And you should be over my house. And this is what blows me away. This man yesterday was in prison. And now the Pharaoh said, you're going to be over my house according to your word. Word shall all my people be ruled. Only the throne will I be greater than you. What tremendous power that was given to Joseph. See, God's able to one who rises us up. He's able to lift us up, but he's able to take us down. He's the one that exalted Joseph, and as we're going to see, for his purpose. And he says, and the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 41, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand. And this isn't something that he did, nothing to be taken lightly. When he took off his ring, it's like, I've given you the power. The power, no matter whoever sees this ring, you're representing me. And you're able to go, the doors are going to open, and the people are going to obey because you have my ring upon you. He says, and he put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen and put gold chain upon his neck. And he made him, notice verse 43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him and bowed their knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And of course, we know at this time, Joseph is now how old? He's 30 years old. From 17 to 30, the changes, the trials that he was going through, as I mentioned, the yo-yo of life, where he'd been down in the pit. Now he's sitting in the king's court. It also tells us here that Pharaoh also gave Joseph a wife who bore him two sons. Take a look, drop down a little bit farther. Take a look at verse 51. It says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The firstborn was named Manasseh, which means forgetting. Forgetting. For Joseph said that the Lord has caused him to forget the bad experiences in the past. Forgetting those things that are behind, we're exhorted to press towards the mark of the high calling. We're new creatures in Christ. God has made us new to walk in him. We've seen and we talked about how the hand of the Lord was upon Joseph. But isn't it easy when you see it from our rearview mirror how we could see God's hand was upon our lives? When we look at things from a different vantage point, Joseph now standing in the king's court, maybe he was able to look back how God knew in advance that there was going to be 7 years of famine that would hit that land. God wanted to preserve what? What did God want to preserve? He was looking at something else besides just the Pharaoh and his court. There's somebody across the way in another land. His name is Jacob. and God was going to use Joseph in order to save him. God's hand was upon Joseph. He had caused Joseph's brother. He had caused Joseph's brother to conspire, to sell him, to allow him to go down into Egypt. He caused the officer, the officer of the Pharaoh, in order to buy him from the caravan, in order that he might be in his house. And then he allowed or caused Joseph to end up in prison through Potiphar's wife. Just not any prison, but the prisons where the Pharaoh would send his court to. Or his prisoners too. God set them up together. Isn't it interesting how God's hand was upon Joseph? Because all of a sudden, this butler and this baker show up in prison with him at the same time. Some people say, it's just coincidence. It just happens. No, God's hand's upon Joseph. And not only this butler at the interprets the dream, he goes up to be with Pharaoh, and he forgets about Joseph. People said, well, maybe just because he was ornery. He didn't want to interrupt the Pharaoh and ask at that time when he first arrived on the scenes. Or else God, he simply did forget. But the Lord allowed him to remember and to rise up Joseph for the right time, this time, in order that he might be before the Pharaoh. I think it's so important now blessed so abundantly, all the sorrowful experiences are the past, are forgotten. I think it's so amazing how God does that within our own life. How just walk with him as we opened up this morning, the sweetness of fellowship, the sweetness of knowing him, the sweetness of his grace causes me not even to consider the sorrows of my past. In fact, I don't even remember them. All I remember is him and walk with him. All the hurts that Joseph might have been experiencing. Manasseh means forgetting. All the painful experiences that he might have felt that his brothers inflicted upon him. All the seeming tragedy. Never able to be with his dad Jacob again. All those things that he thought were so sad, so empty in his life. But the beauty is, the truth that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. As we look at this, God is working out his eternal purposes. His eternal purpose, even in seeing what we look at as tragedies. God has a plan. One day, in discovering God's full purpose, that he's working in our lives, we forget those hard times. Joseph had a second son. His second son, his name was Ephraim, which means fruitful, fruitful. And he says, because God had made him fruitful in the land of affliction. I think it's so beautiful where God gave a message to Jeremiah, as we saw earlier in our scripture reading. He sent it to the people. He sent it to the people who had been taken captive in Babylon. That's where that message in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The people were in Babylon. They were in a place that you might think they were in the pits, right? They were going through a hard time. And the Lord said through Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you." He says, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you. Plans to bless you. Plans to put my hand upon you. Plans to give you hope and a future." My question today, do you have that hope within your heart?
You've been listening to Agape Radio, the radio ministry of Pastor Terry Reynolds of Agape Chapel in Costa Mesa, California. CD copies of today's study are available when you email us at agaperadio@agapechapeloc.org. Today's message, as originally presented at Agape Chapel, can be downloaded from our website at agapechapeloc.org. To encourage you in your discipleship, Agape Chapel has developed a page at agapechapeloc.org where you can access all of Pastor Terry's messages through the Bible. Make sure to bookmark agapechapeloc.org, as we will be adding more messages to the archive on a regular basis. Log on to agapechapeloc.org and follow the link to the Agape Radio Media Archive. Now, we also want to offer you one of our most requested messages for free, the Rapture. We believe that we're living in very momentous times. The end is near, and at any time, the rapture could occur. Are you ready? To receive your free copy, simply send an email to agaperadio@agapechapeloc.org or send your request to Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington, California, 92647. Now, please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again. Pastor Terry will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Genesis, right here on Agape Radio.